Hello and welcome to my latest match pod review for www.mufcglobal.co.uk. We want Glazers out. Say we want Glazers out. Man United back in action on the final day of the Premier League season in the WAC against Brighton. The curator is on his way down there the game because it's midday here in Manchester. He's on the way down Brighton on an absolutely beautiful scorchio day up here, probably about 3 more degrees warmer down south for the curator. But I go into that match in a match that essentially is insignificant to them because they had, say, ultimately a successful season in qualifying for the Champions League. Jason Wilcott's regime essentially vindicated as we stand, but still plenty of work that needs to be done. Early transfers needed, minimum of 3 midfielders required to come in. Obviously, the players coming in, the sooner they come in, the better. And obviously, wages will be an issue because United financially still have big issues. I mean, ticket prices have gone up. The one I share with the curator has gone up 6%. My membership's gone up. That's gone up 20%, 50% in 2 years. So they can't claim poverty now. They have got the money to do things. They said that the, as I say, on my membership, it said to improve things, apparently. To be honest, it has worked very well, the actual ticketing system. I'm not sure what they can do to improve it because it was exactly the same as last year. So, as I say, it's essentially, I think, improve things as to regards on the football pitch, which should be the priority. And I think fans don't necessarily mind as much. Obviously, you'll always mind things going up the way the country is at the moment in regards of cost of living and stuff like that. But you also want to see success on the pitch. You want to see things improving. And that will be the target for now. New, as I say, it's official now. It took them a week. I don't know who leaked it last week. I don't know. Was it from within the club, maybe? But yeah, it took them a week to leak it. I mean, I suppose some people argue they leaked it on the day the England squad came out for the World Cup. So it's a bit lower down in the thought processes, which maybe it was, but we all knew it was going to happen a week ago. As I say, the good thing is only a 2-year contract, obviously with a plus one. Michael Carrick's got to prove himself, and he's got to prove himself in a situation where he hasn't just got one game a week. He's got a number of matches, and he's also got to make sure he gets results. That will be the key thing. As I say, and I've said before, very clever of Jason Wilcott, bringing in like Ed Woodward did all them years ago, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Bit of gaslighting the fans. But you can sort of get away with gaslighting in this respect in regards of you just want to keep the fans on side to begin with and then hope for the best. And the best has happened. United, as I say, they've secured third place. They've got nothing to play for in this game against Brighton today. Obviously, Brighton do. They're looking to push on towards Europe. Danny Welbeck, he'll be looking to score again. He's scored in the FA Cup match at Old Trafford. Obviously, United won earlier this season, although did their best to throw that game away. But it'll be interesting to see what the team will be. I'd say I'll be back later to talk a little bit more about the game. See, there will be a few changes. I don't think there'll be wholesale changes. I mean, you would hope to see some of the youngsters come on, maybe Shay Lacy. Possibly the Fletcher brothers might get some opportunities. Obviously, I think the full gamut of substitutions will happen in today's game with the way the weather is. As to say for United, it's a game that doesn't matter necessarily to them. Their third is secure, but maybe the Fletcher brothers might get on. I mean, as I say, I've mentioned before, I'd rather they play and play in the positions that they play, which is midfield, than have Mason Mount in there. Mason Mount on the left for me, or in the number 10 position. I mean, I'd be interested to see what happens with the World Cup players. Casemiro, I think, is not going to be playing. I think Carrick's already said that, which is understandable. It'll be interesting to see if players will go into the World Cup. I mean, Cunha, he's going to the World Cup. Will he maybe start on the bench? And Mount maybe stick him on the left, which I think is his, that or number 10 is his best position. Obviously, Bruno Fernandes will start because they'll be looking to get him this assist record. And I saw yesterday that he's won another Player of the Year award. It's like a fans and an expert panel one. As I say, let's just go back to 1999. Was David Ginola the best player that's in the 98-99 season? he wasn't. It's just that there were probably about three or four Man United players and he came through the middle. Maybe that's what's happened here this season. Because, I mean, you could talk Raya and, I mean, for me, it's Declan Rice. Raya as well. The two centre-backs, Gabriel and Saliba, have been outstanding. Maybe a few of them have got in the way and Bruno's come through the middle. But his plan will be to get that assist record today. As I say, hopefully it will happen organically and it won't happen out of like the goal from Bruno did yesterday, instead of at times when maybe he should have shot, but he tried to put somebody in, or, you know, he was unfortunate because he put some brilliant balls in organically, but other players didn't manage to put the ball in the back of the net. But that will essentially be what United will be targeting today. In that regard. So I'm mounting up my mate Linders for the match later on. I am going to go for a little wander to the local supermarket, then have a wander down, a little bit of a walk, get the sun cream on, the shorts are on, the t-shirt on. The weather is absolutely fantastic. I've got a couple of cans to put away during the match, but also I've got hydration. I've got my bottle of water as well, ready for the day. I will be back post match with my thoughts later on. With the team news and how the game goes in that regard. And as I say, for United, is about now focusing on the summer and getting the players that are required for next season. But I'll talk a little bit, probably a little bit more about that at the end of the game. Obviously, we'll have everything out of the wash. And as I say, fingers crossed, as I say, things can happen in a football match, positive things and negative things. So there may be fallout from the match. But as I say, I'm sure Cowp will put out a strong team, but I would like to see some of the youngsters get good opportunities today. I doubt it will be from the start, but, you know, opportunities later in the game. Maybe when the game is on the knife edge and things need to happen within the game, you know, that's good experience. As I say, Shea later came on against Aston Villa and hit the bar. He came on against Burnley and had the sort of the cut in and shot. Opportunities there for possibly Shea Lacey and the Fletcher brothers. Would imagine, I've heard that they're the youngsters that are going down to Brighton for this game. So I will be back post-match with my thoughts on the game, and obviously some thoughts around the season as well and what needs to happen next season. Nice lost the cup final, by the way. Unlucky Surratt. Just a relegation playoff to go now. FYI, Nice finished fourth last season. They didn't make the Champions League because they lost in the group stage because they lost in the playoff rounds. And now they finished their bottom. So things can change very quickly under a Surratt run football club. And, you know, look at Hull into the Premier League. And last season, they just avoided relegation in the Championship. So it can go the other way. But what you actually want is a stable football club where things are consistent. That's one thing Manchester United are not at the moment. But we'll learn a lot more next season. So as I say, I will be back with more thoughts after the match. So the season's finished and United have finished it with a victory 3-0 at Brighton. Comfortable in the end after a bit of a slow start. But to be fair, Brighton's only shot on target, the one I can remember, was after about 80-odd minutes. A bit like Borough Day before, good the ball towards the area, but nothing when it got close to it. But in regards of the team news, United started off, said, pretty sure with possibly certain players missing out. No Cunha, no Casemiro, because we didn't even get on. It was Lamine go back four of Rowe, Dalot not even in the squad. Imagine that is still played a lot in this season. Then left back Luke Shaw with Harry Maguire and Lisandro Martinez in the middle. The midfield two was Bimeu and Mason Mount. And with Bruno Fernandes further ahead, and then wide was Ahmad on the right hand side, then with Dorgu on the left hand side, with Brian M. Bruno through the middle. As I said, in regards to the game, I mean, the start of the match, I wouldn't say it was all Brighton, but Brighton had a lot of possession. That were a bit slow start, like against Sunderland. Brighton really didn't create anything. Against Sunderland, had opportunities and should have scored, but they didn't. Brighton didn't really create much and they didn't have many shots on goal. There were a few promising balls over the top, but nothing accurate, really, enough for in regards to cause Lamine any problems whatsoever. Obviously, a very hot day, as I mentioned earlier. And Brighton really were just, it was possession for possession's sake. And they didn't do much with it. I mean, maybe because the game mattered more for Brighton than it did for Man United. It was just a case of maybe they're a bit nervous, but they couldn't really create anything. And the match was sort of slowly meandering really after the half hour mark. And United was slowly, bit by bit, getting into the game. And then they got a corner. Bruno Fernandes swung it in. Dorgu with a header. Poor defending. Dorgu with a header off the crossbar. Then into the back of the net, although that's what it looked like. And obviously, Bruno Fernandes would get his 21st and record-breaking assist. But on reflection, and when you look back at it, it's probably an own goal from the goalkeeper. So I'm assuming that doesn't have an assist. I can't really work out how they work out sort of assists in that regard, usually, because there was one off Sesko. I think it was against Liverpool that Bruno crossed over, but it got a deflection first before Sesko put it into the back of the net. And that didn't count as an assist. But if you go back to it, I mean, they put it down as a Dorgu goal. But if you actually look at it, it is actually going away from goal. Once it hits the bar, then it hits the goalkeeper's glove and goes into the back of the net. I mean, the easy thing is, let's just give it to Bruno Fernandes. It's extra PR for the Premier League. And I mean, for me, the most worrying thing was that the match day centre said that it was a Dorgu goal and a Bruno Fernandes assist. I mean, this is the same match day centre that talks absolute garbage when wrong VAR decisions are made. Sorry, poor VAR decisions are made. I mean, you can't say that they're wrong, although some of them actually are. But United took the lead then. And then just at the end of the first half, some actually lovely little play involving Mason Mount as well, to be fair to him. Mazraoui on the right hand side into Ahmad. Did a nice little bit of sort of swivel movement into Mason Mount. Quick 1-2, lovely ball from Mount. Crossed over, and then Abumo couldn't miss, especially from yards out, from just a couple of yards out. Some excellent football that from Manchester United. And they sort of in that last sort of 10-15 minutes of the first half, because there was an extra 5 minutes or so because of the there was a drinks break because of the temperature. The temperatures, they took the drinks break. United took control of the game, and sort of at half time at 2-0, pretty relaxed. United going into that. I mean, obviously, as they say, 2-0 is one of those scores, they say dangerous scores if Brighton get the next goal. But United came out firing in the second half and created a number of opportunities. But it was Bruno Fernandes who got the goal. Nice bit of play from Dorgu. He was put through. I think it was Mazraoui again that actually put him through. Just a touch to Bruno Fernandes, who was running on. And then he could have actually put it to the back post and boom, and then completely blew apart the idea that the first goal wasn't his assist. He just thought, no, I'm just going to drill this. And he drilled it to the back of the net. The flag went up. He did his celebration in front of the United fans. The flag went up. He didn't realise for a little bit. But it did look very tight from the first angle that we saw. And then it was shown that Dorgu was indeed onside. And United went 3-0 up. They actually had a couple of other opportunities to actually go 4 or maybe 5 up. But good saves from the Brighton goalkeeper. And goalkeeper made sure that United didn't score any more goals. So for Brighton, they really couldn't get themselves back into the game. United controlled it pretty much from then. There was some Shay Lacy did come on. Tyler Fletcher, who was on the bench, he came on for opportunities. Carlos Baleba, United apparently have been after all season. He came on, didn't really make much difference. As I said, I think it was Solly March who had Brighton's first shot on target. I mean, there was a stat that came up that had a number of shots. Brighton 7, United 9. United 7 on target, Brighton none on target. You need to actually have some shots or you're not going to win football matches. But Lemens made the save. I mean, it was a save he should make, but he made that save. And then from there, it was just pretty comfortable for United. But Brighton did get into the Conference League in the end, because Sunderland beat Chelsea and Brentford cut Liverpool and Brentford drew. So despite a poor performance from then, and a performance that once United got those two quick goals, it was done and dusted very quickly. I mean, essentially three goals, like 3 goals in 15 minutes either side of half time that the game was done and dusted. United moved up to, I think it was 71 points. I think it was 68 before. So end the season on a high with a victory. But as I mentioned before, the hard work starts now, because next season we'll really learn where this Manchester United team are actually going to go. And from chatting to my friend Adam, we might try and get a couple of pods over the summer as well. He was saying that, you know, next season, obviously, I mean, it has to be get out of the Champions League top 24. That is a minimum target. Once you're in that, you want to get yourself into the knockout phase, and then anything can happen from there. But also trying to target, obviously, getting back in the top four, or it could be five, depending on how the team's doing in Europe, but also challenging for a trophy, trying to win a trophy, or at least going deep within a competition, as I say, United out in the first round in both competitions this year, as I say, which meant just 40 games, as I say already. There'll be at least 8 more games next season that United will be playing. And as I say, the plan would be to at least get that up to 50, and then more in relation to cup competitions. So work to be done and transfers to be done. And there's speculation about various things, but I'm one of these, until they're actually signing that contract as part of Manchester United, being part of a Manchester United team, that is when, you know, it's like holding that shirt. That is when for me, you become that Manchester United player. And as I say, minimum 3 midfielders needed. As I say, probably an attacker on the left, but there's talk, Dorgan could maybe do that job. A fullback is needed in some regard. And you probably think, I mean, a friend Adam mentioned a striker, which probably is required, maybe, because you've only got Sesko, and if Sesko's injured and you're going to have a lot more games next season, do they bring in an experienced striker? I mean, I've talked about the goalkeeper. I know Vitek's at Bristol City. Is he happy to come back and sit on the bench? But if he's not, maybe you sell him if you can get good money for him. And then what you do, like Manchester City have done, you sell these goalkeepers. You make sure you put a clause in either for sell on or first refusal to come back. But then you reinvest and get yourself. They need an experienced number two. But I think if Onana comes back, you're stuck there. And obviously, there's the Rashford situation as well, with Barcelona basically taking the piss. Pardon my French. £26 million. It's a steal. But for whatever reason, they don't want to pay. They just want another loan, is what is being reported as they're going to ask for. But just by the players, they say United. Hoyland's gone, you can get 20 million for Xerxes. If you get that 26 million, that's 80 odd million already in, with all the money that is guaranteed to come in. Obviously, you want success and to make money so that you can spend more. Because, as I say, if you don't need 3 midfielders, you're probably looking at 150 million for those 3 midfielders as it is. And in regards of saleable assets, there's talk of Ugarte going. Obviously, they're saving money around Casemiro leaving with the massive wages. So it is a case of work to be done for Manchester United, and then the start of next season. Remember, there's a World Cup this year. Are you going to have all your players fully back for the start of the season? The season's slightly set differently, I think. It looks like there's going to be, there's a longer run into the international breaks, and then I think there's like 3 or 4 matches within an international break now. It's like a 2-week international break. So you're going to have a run of games before. So there's a run of maybe 5, 6, maybe 7 games before that first international break. So United need to be starting the season off strongly and well. And obviously the fixtures will come out in June to see if you've got, but they need to make sure that they are ready for the start of the season. Too many seasons United have not got the players or the majority of what they need before the start of the season. You could have maybe 1 or 2, but not necessarily key positions that haven't been sorted. The one season they did get everything done was, I think it was 17-18. And I think it was only Paul Pogba that hadn't been bought at that stage. And he was actually bought, I think, a couple of days before the first game, played the first game. I mean, that didn't win the league that season, but they got their highest Premier League points total that season, and 81 points. And as I say, I mean, that's the, that one, that nowadays probably wouldn't win the league this season. May have got your second, but you want to be, if you're going to, your target is to essentially be number one. But I think for United, that their target has to be trying to get back into that top four, and obviously getting out of that Champions League group, and also challenging, pushing further within the cup competitions. Hence, it's going to put strain on the team and the players. Hence, there is going to need to be a proper squad brought in that regard. Oh, just to say, Michael Carrick, Mr. Nice Guy, apparently brought on Tyrell Malacia. I mean, I essentially would have brought him out, been harsh. I think a lot of other managers would have been harsh. I mean, that's fair, because he's a guy who's peed off of Wayne Rooney and he didn't play him in his last couple of matches. But he brought him on, but even Tyrell Malacia couldn't mess it up. We were 3-0 up, but at least Carrick learned his lesson. Don't bring him on when it's 1-1 and the game's on the line. He's another player that'll be leaving, but that would just be a wage saving situation. So, as I say, ultimately a successful season, qualifying for the Champions League. As I say, this is the Wilcott's regime. It started off well, but he knows that a lot of work needs to be done. And for United, it's about how they step up into next season. We've seen a lot of differences in how teams have performed, depending on how many games they've had this season. And there's going to be a few teams next season with only one game a week, like Man United. So lots of work and structure that needs to be done, and being pretty much ready at the start of the season, please, Jason, and not leaving it and leaving it and leaving it. There's a World Cup coming. You've got to try and get those deals done before the World Cup starts, really. And then, as I say, you're ready then. You know you've got a template then. Yeah, players can get injured. There can be issues. But that's by the by. That's part of football. But get your players, get your ducks in a row, ready in the particular positions that you want to do. So, as always, thanks for listening. All pods up at www.mufcglobal.co.uk or Bavaria's podcast platforms such as Spotify, Podbean, Listen Notes, PCast, Podchaser. Search MUFC Global and you will find it will come up in your favourite search engine, and it will come up. So, a season where that's ended at a positive. But again, it has to be the minimum standards at this football club. Let's see if that continues, because that's the important thing. You have to be consistent. You have to make sure that you're actually trending and playing as a proper football club. And you also giving the fans something to look forward to. Yes, we'll look forward to the next season, but in this Premier League, at this standard, things can change very, very quickly. And we've seen that with some of the teams. Look at Sunderland. Get promoted, they're up to seventh. They're now in the Europa League. It'll be interesting to see how they deal with the extra fixtures. Maybe they might struggle this season. Look at Crystal Palace. They really struggled, but they may win a trophy. So it's that thing. It's about the balance. And United should be able to manage that by bringing in the players, the relevant players that are required to build up that squad, because the squad we've got at the moment isn't good enough to play the games that we've got. As I say, you'll get knocks, you'll get injuries. As I say, the injury records have been a bit better this season. Maybe the medical staff have improved, but we'll see how that goes. So as always, thanks for listening throughout the season. Hopefully do like a couple of pods throughout the summer. As I say, get my mate Adam on. Maybe mate Andy Newis as well. He always had some interesting things to say. So, as always, thanks for listening. And we'll be back next season. We'll make it to 500. Thanks for listening.